Welcome to the July 20th, 2008 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is by the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, We Are Family. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
We are having children's time today. That's the time when the children in attendance will come down and see Brittany. That will be right after the first hymn. So we want you to come on down and be with her for just a few minutes for children's time. Other announcements for today. We are having a special FGO for guys only for the youth. We're headed to paintball. We're going to adjust that time to 1:30. So we're leaving the church at 1:30. So we'll be back in time for other things that are happening this afternoon. Matt Wilson is having a shower for he and his fiance from 3 until 5. We want you to come and be a part of that. That is in Smith Hall. Is that right, Smith Hall? Did I say that right? Okay. And we want you to come and be a part of that from 3 until 5. Other announcements tonight, we are having a special life service, which is our contemporary service that happens every Sunday night. The gospel choir from the Cherry Street Prison will be our guest tonight. They're going to come a little early. At 5:45, we're going to have a potluck supper. We need you to bring as much food as you can. We're going to feed ourselves as well as the choir. That's going to begin at 5:45, and then they will stay and lead worship for us for the life service at 7. This is something you do not want to miss. They came last summer, and it was just an amazing time to be together. And we hope that you come, bring some food, bring some friends, and come enjoy an evening here at College Park. We will be inside. It's going to be rather hot this afternoon, and the risk of storms, we want to just come on and bring that inside. Let me see. We are a week away from VBS. Vacation Bible School starts next Sunday night. That's a little adjustment. It's not Monday to Friday. It is Sunday through Thursday. And VBS is for the entire church. We have something for babies all the way through. And we're going to have adult Bible study as well. And so we want you to come and be a part of that. It'll begin at 5:30 every evening, with a snack supper. And then we'll have worship at 6, followed by VBS until about 8 o'clock. So we want you to come and be a part of that. We are having set up for that all week. If you like to paint, come be with the youth at 9 o'clock every morning this week, and we'll be painting some stuff to get ready for VBS. Speaking of youth, Ward, come on up.
Good morning. I suppose I should first answer the question that you're probably all asking yourselves. What happened at youth camp this week? I will tell you what happened at youth camp this week. God showed up. I think I can speak for all of our, for myself, for Raymond, and for all of the college leaders that were there this week that Christ was present in each of our young people, and if only to a minor degree, he certainly became much more prevalent in their lives. The theme for this week was the way, where we learned about there was a right way and a wrong way to go about life, and that right way being Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so we just had an awesome time. The kids were, and they've heard me say this several times, they were absolutely perfect. So parents, there's no excuse for them now. And I know that they can be perfect individuals, perfect young men and women. And I couldn't be more proud of them. We had a great week. We had a great time. And I just thank you for trusting me with them. I thank you to our leaders. We just had a great week, and like I said, God showed up. Thank you.
As you can tell, we don't pay our interns enough because he obviously needs a new clothing budget. But actually, Ward was the youth minister of the day, the last day of camp. And he had to wear that sombrero and those glasses everywhere he went. And he loved it so much, he wore it all the way home. And so I'm very thankful for Ward and the leadership that he provided this week and all of our leaders. I was excited to hear all the stories that were happening at camp. And I'm very thankful for this church and what they did this week. So let's see. Do I have any other announcements? Check, 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 check. Anybody else have any announcements? Anybody? Going once? Going twice? Good. Okay. We want to welcome all of our guests this morning. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles. You've heard a little bit about what's been happening in the next few weeks at College Park. You've given us your information. You've told us you were here. We would like for you to raise your hand as our ushers come back down the aisles. We have a packet of information that we'd like to give to you. Inside this packet, you will find a letter from our pastor, as well as the story of College Park, and a newsletter that tells you what's going on currently in the life of our church. We appreciate you coming to worship with us this day, and we know that it will be a blessing to you. You will find, as we begin our hour of worship, there is one thing I meant to mention. We have added a staff person for this week, Mary Keltner, our music minister of education and music. She is visiting her daughter down at Caswell, who's working on staff at Caswell, and our own Jeremy Cobble is back, and he's leading the choir today, and you'll see him leading in worship, and we're very glad that Jeremy is back with us. He's not back, he's just in a different chair this morning, and so we're glad that he's joining us in that capacity. It is time for us to begin our time together in worship. You will find a responsive reading in your bulletin. We call it the invitation to share in worship, because that's what we do. We share in worship, something we do together. It's based on Psalm 145, and I invite you to stand now for the responsive reading. I invite you to read the dark print aloud as a response to my light print. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. One generation shall praise your works to another. All your works praise you, Lord. They make known the glory of your kingdom. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. Father, we agree that your presence can be felt throughout this place. And sometimes that's all we need. That's all we need just to make it through the next moment. To make it through the next hour. To make it through the next day. Sometimes all we have is to know your Spirit is right beside us. And Father, remind us this morning that that's what life is about. That your Spirit walks with us And that when this life is over, we spend eternity in your presence. So Father, it's like a little piece of heaven to know that even on the darkest of days, that we're okay. And we thank you. We thank you that you are in this place and that you have something to tell us, something to show us, something to remind us, something to remind us about the goodness of your love for us. And so, Father, we come, not because we had to, but because we wanted to. We made the choice to come. And so we pray that you come into this place as well. Speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, guys and girls. How are y'all? Good? Good? Who has a family? Well, I said, who has a family? How important is your family? Very important. Very. Very, very. Did you know that you also have a church family? No? Well, all of these people out here are your church family. And they're here to help you and support you. What else do you think they do?
They help us do things.
Do things. Pray for you. Good job. Does anybody know what an heir is? An heir, like it's a person. No? It's a person who inherits property, tradition or money from another person. Do you know that that makes us all an heir to somebody or something? And we're all an heir to this church and to our parents and to God. Why do you think we're an heir to our parents? That's right. You're responsible for things that your parents have. Anybody else? Gotcha. Good job. What else?
My mom and dad tells us to do something we do.
Good job. Do you know why you're an heir to this church? What about tradition? Do we have to help carry on the tradition? Do you know why we're an heir to God? Because he loves us and we want to follow him. Did you know that you could be an heir to so many people and so many things?
Yeah.
Maybe. No. Not puppies. Just remember that you're representing your family and the church and God. Also remember that both your family... your church family loves you and they're here to support you. So just remember that you are an heir and you're representing your family and this church and God. We're going to pray and then you can go back to your seat, okay? Dear God, I thank you for these kids and I thank you for their families. I pray that they continue to learn and represent you as you would have them be. I pray that you keep them safe and bring them back next week. In your name, in your son's name, I pray. Amen.
Our scripture reading for this morning comes from the Old Testament. The last few weeks we've been reading in Genesis, as the Revised Common Lectionary readings proceed through the Old Testament, we're reading about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Esau. And this morning in Genesis 28, beginning at verse 10, we'll read about Jacob and his dream at Bethel. If you don't have your Bible with you, there should be a pew Bible located close to you. Feel free to read along. This is Genesis 28, beginning at verse 10. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and by your offspring. I am with you and watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel. And also in the Old Testament, a psalm, Psalm 139. I'll be reading the first 12 verses of the psalm and then the final two verses, 23 and 24. O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light will become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. May we pray together. Dear Lord, we're thankful to have the psalm and certainly all of your holy word. But this particular psalm, Lord, says it so beautifully. In the power of your presence, you have promised to love us and to be present with us and to not give up on us. Lord, we are thankful for that. As the psalm says, Lord, wherever we may go, you are there. There's no reason for us to hide because you are with us. Even when we sin, you are with us. Even when we feel ashamed, guilty, embarrassed, you are with us. Even when we are hurting and pained and scarred, you are with us. Even when we think you are far away and that we are alone, nobody knows where we are, what we're dealing with. You, Lord, remain with us. Lord, for all of our days and all of our minutes and moments and experiences, that presence is such a great gift, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for sending your Son to die for our sins and to die so that we may be redeemed in your love. Lord, like the last part of the psalm says, we truly do want you to lead us in the way everlasting, to lead us in your way. You have created us, Lord. You have created us in your image. You have created us to do good, to spread your love to others. Lead us in the way everlasting, not our way, not the world's way, but your way. You have searched us, Lord. Help us to turn to you, to see who we are in you, that we may be who you created us to be in the way everlasting. Lord, thank you for each person here. Thank you for loving them like you do. Thank you for not giving up on us. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for what you created us to be. Amen.
Please join me in prayer. Dear God, we thank you for this day that you have given us. We thank you for the opportunity to come together in this place to worship you. We thank you for the Apostle Paul and the lessons he gives us. Help us to use these lessons to become closer to you. And now we ask your blessings on the gifts we are about to receive. Use these gifts according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
With my soul. trials should come, let His blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed His own blood for my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well.
We began reading last week from Romans chapter 8. It was kind of interesting because this week when we were at youth camp, the camp pastor, Dr. Robert Smith, on the last two services preached from Romans chapter 8. And when he announced that we'd be reading from those passages and preaching from that, I thought, you know, of course, being the situation I was in, great. He'll give me some great ideas for Sunday morning. And unfortunately, when we got to the passage, verse 12, that I knew would be the text this morning, he kind of skipped over that and went to like verse 26. I'm thinking, no. But this morning, we're going to gather together around the theme, around the title of We Are Family. And when you read this title, question comes to mind, what pops in your mind? Now, for our youth, it might be a 30-second dance party to the song by that title, We Are Family.
We are family. Sing it to me. I know my sisters and me. Sing it to me. We are family.
They got really bashful all of a sudden. Did you notice that? Maybe that's not what came to your mind when you heard the phrase, We Are Family. Maybe it's a fond memory of a family member or a family gathering. Maybe it's a not so fond remembrance of family conflict that remained and still remains unresolved. But regardless of what your concept or your notion of we are family and what that means, I want us to read together now. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 12. And we'll read through verse 25. Our focus will be primarily on verses 12 through 17. Our lectionary reading is verses 12 through 25 of the book of Romans. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His sufferings in order that we may also share in His glory. I consider that our personal sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed.
For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. I think so often in our search for the will of God, we talk about the very same issues that Paul struggled with, that he wrote about, you know, in his search for the will of God. So his trials, in a very real way, are our trials. You know, there's something familiar about his best efforts as he seeks to confront Christ and help us confront Christ, because that is the very same Christ that we're trying to flesh through and work out our relationship with Christ. So the struggles, the confusion, the confessions of the Apostle Paul are the same struggles and confusions and confessions that we have. So today, in the presence of God, in the presence of this scripture, we need to admit one thing. We'll start here at this point. We need to admit that we're family. We're family with the Apostle Paul. We're also family with one another. We're family with Jesus Christ, and we're family with God. Now, when I say that, for some people, that may be a sense of relief. For others, that may be a point of tremendous stress, depending on what your experience is with family. You know, we might feel compelled to kind of guard our hearts. Say, we know that Apostle Paul, he writes some pretty tough stuff. And so I'm not sure I really want to be family with him. He has a way of convicting us. Calling across the years, he writes in a way that compels us. I don't know what your experience was when you were growing up with family. If you had siblings, it was kind of an interesting phenomenon that happens with siblings, especially if they're close in years, close enough to be within comparison range, if you will. A lot of times what happens there, and maybe you have been victim, I say that kind of loosely and very lightly, been victim to that whole comparison thing by parents. You know, why can't you just behave like your brother, sister, fill in the name there? Parents do that sometimes. Teachers, I know none of ours would. No. None of ours would, but teachers sometimes have a way of saying, well, obviously your brother / sister received all of the academic genes in your family. or some variation of that statement. Sometimes coaches have that way. If there's two boys that come through and they're within several years of, you know, they look at the second one and go, what happened? What happened to you? And ministers, I think, can even be guilty of that sometimes, and I don't even dare conjecture what they may say along those lines, but sometimes it's just a comparison thing with our siblings. And as in any family, we are kind of apt to compare our efforts to the rest of the people in the family and kind of grade ourselves on a curve, a family curve, by comparison to our brothers and sisters. And in doing so, we run the risk of missing the message because we're so busy massaging our own testimonies, trying desperately to make ourselves the hero of our stories. And in doing so, we miss out on a great deal. And I'm not saying the tendency is wrong per se, but it has dangers. And it's likely that some of us have kind of been conditioned. We've kind of been trained that that's how we work in families. We grade on a curve. It's all by comparison. You know, in our lifestyle that we kind of go through now, we have this desire to feel good about ourselves. There's songs that have been written, and we won't play any of those. There's songs that have been written about just feeling good. Don't worry, be happy. All of those things. And perhaps we find ways to hide our true nature from ourselves and from others in an attempt to be as Abraham Lincoln once said, that is, angels of our better natures. So it's understandable. We bring being conditioned that way. We are flesh. And that's part of what Paul is speaking about. We have this tendency. We have our techniques and our strategies. And the bottom line is we are pretty transparent as human beings, especially to family. You know the old saying about you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't. Trust me, you can't fool family. You really can't. It's you know your family. You know they kind of, get along with yourself. You know, we know better. You know, there's no secrets really in family. And I can tell you, there is no secrets to God. So to declare, to stand here and say we're part of God's family, you can know without a shadow of a doubt, there are no secrets to God. He knows us. And He accepts us in spite of our problems and our warts and all that type of thing. And the Apostle Paul, he warns us in no uncertain terms. He said, living in the flesh is a problem. Living with all these hang-ups is a problem. Look again at verse 12 through 14. He said, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So when we live in the flesh, we limit ourselves to a personal definition, a relative definition of what is good and what is holy and what is worthy. And we waste our energy living our lives in a relative fashion in spite of the grace that's all around us to set us free. We resist our calling by insisting on learning about heavenly things, about learning about celestial things at a pace that only our flesh can comprehend or can deal with. So we, by definition, are limited in our rewards. And Paul is trying his best to redefine this, to give us a new understanding. And in verse, he writes, he said, we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs. Verse 17, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but that blows my mind. Because we are not entitled to be joint anything with Christ. But yet, there it is. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His sufferings in order that we may also share in His glory. What is an heir? Brittany asked the question of the children. An heir is someone who receives something by virtue of who they are. An heir is not someone who receives something by virtue of what they do. The nature of the relationship is personal. It's by virtue of who you are. Make that distinction very clear. Get the picture. Verse 15b, starting there. And by Him we cry, Abba. Daddy. That's a term of endearment. That's an intimate term. Daddy. Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And now if we're children, we are heirs with God and co-heirs with Christ. Paul says, Abba, Father. And he can say those words and he can mean those words and receive God as family because we are family. Our birthright is to claim the closeness, that intimacy, Abba, intimacy with God and with one another. I don't know if you can picture yourself in this whole family portrait thing that's going on here. I don't know where your mind's going. Can you see yourself in the family portrait with each other and with Jesus Christ and with God? Maybe you can, maybe you can't. Maybe that's a point of stress for you. Maybe that's a point of comfort. But God can see you in the picture. That's the point. And Paul reaches across the years of conflict and he insists that you have a birthright, and he insists that you live that birthright. And not just live, but live transformed by the conviction and the commitment that you bring into this place this morning. You see, when we talk about sanctuary, sanctuary is not a room. Sanctuary is not a building. Sanctuary, being in sanctuary, is being in a family. Sanctuary is a relationship. That's what it's about. That's what Paul's trying to say. And you bring that here with you this morning. It's your privilege to serve God right here, right now, treating all of your imperfection, your guilt and sin as kind of a glorious adequacy. It is your privilege to serve with your brothers and sisters in Christ, part of that apostolic lineage, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, being a child of the King. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may share also in his glory. And you go, wait a minute, preacher. You said that being an heir was about who you are, not about what you have done. Well, that's right. Because if we're willing vessels, the Holy Spirit, according to verse 16, the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if we are willing vessels for the Holy Spirit, that's an indication of who we are. And the doing should be left up to the Holy Spirit. So it is about who we are. And people, it is time to get out of the way. It's time to get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit do through us. People should see in us not our imperfection, but should see the love of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit manifest in our life. The Spirit should become so dominant in who we are and what we do that the two become synonymous. Let that truth sink in worship this morning. You know who you are. You are a child of God. You're a family member. You have a daddy, Abba, Father, who desires that relationship with you. You are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And if that does not give you reason to celebrate, we need to have a little talk. Because celebration, one of the best parts of celebration is that it leaves very little time for fear. Verse 15 talks about it. Convince yourself of this. There's no fear. I will not have fear. I will not fear. I'll let the Spirit refresh me in the presence of my God, in the presence of my family, in the presence of this church. My confidence is in the one who adopted me and made me his child. These and other confidences are yours because you share within the family and they're yours to keep. They will help you. They will set you free. And the Apostle Paul insists we are not slaves. He says we are not slaves to fear. We are not slaves to our past deeds. We are not even slaves to death. He says you've been filled by the Spirit of God. And the question has been answered over and over again regarding what you will do now and what you will do in the future. You will be a child of God and a member of his family. So adopt the Spirit. Adopt the Spirit of wholeness just as God has adopted you. There's still time. Claim that blessing of adoption. You'll be a child of God. You'll be a member of this family. And gaze into the eyes of the person on either side of you and love them as a family member. Return that love and compassion. Be the family that God meant for us to be. Not the kind of dysfunction that we see within the world. Love one another unconditionally as Christ showed us and demonstrated, and he calls us to demonstrate as we call ourselves Christ ones and strive to be more like him. Forgive one another our shortcomings because we desire to be not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Stand on the promise that so captivated and delighted the Apostle Paul, the promise of being a joint heir with Christ. Delight with the Apostle Paul and find your way in the suffering that brings kinship with him. I guess plainly put, shoulder your burdens with delight, knowing that you have a family that cares for you. Whatever confusion still confounds you, embrace them and fear not. Love and encourage one another, because that's who God's family is, and that's what God's family does. Amen. In your bulletin, there was an insert And I'd like for us to read together this litany of response. And don't just read the words. Make them a part of who you are and what you believe. I invite you to stand with me. Those who are led by the Spirit are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship.
The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children, and by him we cry, Abba, Father.
See how great is the love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God.
The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit
and everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well.
The Spirit himself testifies to our spirit that we are God's children. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands.
Now this is how we know who the children of God are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother.
The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another.
Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God.
The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Whoever loves God must also love his brother.
And now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory.
The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children.
Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life.
The Spirit himself testifies to our spirit that we are God's children.
Dear children,
let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and truth.
Let's pray together. Dear Father, we pray that you would touch our hearts. Father, that you would mold us, that you would discipline us in love as a father disciplines a child. Father, we thank you for the relationship that you established with us. Father, we pray that your love would flow through us as we demonstrate that to one another. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. This morning, as we've worshiped together, the same Spirit that loves and corrects and gives us power may be convicting you. Maybe you're not a believer and you feel that tugging on your heart. This is the morning that the Holy Spirit would have you respond to that. I'll be glad to share with you how you can become a child of God, how you can be a co-heir with Jesus Christ, how Jesus Christ can be your Lord and Savior. I'll be here at the front as we sing in just a moment and be glad to share that with you. If you're here and you just need to pray, you need to set some things right with God. You need to reestablish the nature of the relationship, I guess. The altar will be open. Come and pray. If you're here and you'd just like to pray that the Spirit would move freely, you're certainly welcome to come and pray about that as well, whatever you need to decide. If you're here and you'd like to be a part of this family, the smaller part of the family, you know, with God and all of Christians, but here in our church family, we'd be glad to welcome you and talk to you about how we receive members. Whatever your decision is, we invite you to make that as we sing together now. invite you back this evening for our life service and the covered dish supper. Before that, beginning at 5:45, I hope you can make that part of your plans, as well as the shower this afternoon for Matt and Tori. So, a busy day today. Thank you for being here. Let's have a word of prayer as we dismiss. Father, now go with us. Guide us by your Spirit. Bless us in our relationship with you. For it's in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and co-heir, that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.